present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
After the Film Was Over.
Dad, my hairdryer, it's gone off.
And so is my electric razor. You must have blown the fuses.
Oh, I'm sorry, Grandad. Oh, it really scared me, though. It went with such a bang.
Oh, Susan, I've told you before. Now, that thing's not right. Now, get it down to the shop to be mended before there's a serious accident.
Yes, Grandad.
Well, I'd better go and mend the fuses. Thank goodness it's still daylight. The lights will be off as well.
Grandad, the blinking telly's gone funny again. You'd better get that man round from the shop.
Jimmy... It's no use asking the man from the shop to come and look at the set.
Why, are you still behind with your payments?
Now, don't be cheeky. It's not the set that's out of order. Susan's blown the fuses with her hairdryer, and I'd better go and see to them.
So it was you, was it, pudding face?
Look, I didn't do it on purpose. I was only drying my hair.
You call that hair? I've seen nicer hair on a coconut. Anyway, I don't know why you use that hairdryer.
Well, how else can I get my hair dry?
Light the gas oven and stick your nut in it.
Oh, get away from me, you cheeky thing.
I'm going to tell my mum what you've done. Mum, guess what that daft thing in the kitchen's done? Sister Susie's blown the fuses.
All right, Jimmy, I've heard all about it from Grandad. He'll have everything back to normal in a few minutes.
But it'll be too late then. When the picture went off, there was the Lone Ranger with an arrow stuck in his side, surrounded by 12 Apache Indians and only one bullet left. Now I'll never know how he got out of trouble.
Oh, well, don't worry. Knowing the Lone Ranger, he'll probably pinch a feather from an Indian and fly back to Dodge City. Every Saturday night, it's always the same. You get stuck in front of that set, reveling in the violence and bloodshed.
I'd sooner go and see that picture at the Rialto.
Oh, well, that would be a change from television.
Good. Well, if you'll get yourself ready, I'll buy the chalk ices.
Your what?
Well, it's what they call an A picture, and I'm under 16. But when we get there, ma'am, don't hold me hand while we're going in, will you? I feel all right, Charlie.
Jimmy, just a minute. I'm going out tonight. It's the old age pensioners' concert. I'm sorry, love, but I can't go with you to the pictures.
Oh, well, never mind, ma'am. There's plenty more fish in the sea.
Oh, there you are, Jim.
Hello, fish face. Grandad.
Well, I've mended the fuses, so now you can get back to the Lone Ranger.
Oh, I'm not going to bother. I was just saying to me, ma'am, there's far too much violence on the telly.
Aye, and I'm a plenty agree with you, Jim.
Good, so if you'll promise not to snore when the cartoon's on, I'll take you to the pictures.
Oh, no.
Your granddad's going with me to the concert.
Oh, heck.
What's he on about?
He wants to see some film at the Rialto, and he can't go alone because he's under 16.
I know one thing. I should look a lot older than 16 with the worries I've got. At this rate, I'll have grey hairs before I've started smoking.
Oh, yes, you're very hard done to, you are. Now, listen, we shan't be back home much before midnight, so you be sure to go to bed at your usual time.
Yes, ma'am.
And no getting into mischief.
No, ma'am.
And don't go getting yourself worked up watching the television.
Is it all right if I sit in the bath with me rubber duck?
Now, never mind the sarcasm, my lad. Now, come on, Pat. You'd better get away upstairs to get ready.
Oh, yes, we haven't much time. I'm coming, Father.
Ooh, what a life. There must be somebody who'll take me. Oh, of course. Scraggy Annie in the kitchen. I'll make with the Maurice Chevalier charm. Thank heaven for little girls. Can I come in, please, Susan?
Well, what do you want now?
I just want to bask in the sunshine of your smile.
What?
Yes, I'll bet when the lights go up at the interval, all the usherettes will say, "Look, that's Susan Clitheroe sitting with her brother. Why, she's even more good-looking than he is."
What are you up to?
Nothing. And I promise you, Susan, I'll go to the pictures every night when you're a film star.
Me? A film star? The girl you call Pudding Face?
They can do wonders with makeup.
What was that?
I wondered whether you'd like to make up our quarrel and come to the pictures with me.
Oh, did you?
It's a good picture, Susan. You like it. It's called Massacre on Fifth Avenue.
I'm not interested. I'm going out. And it won't be to the pictures with a delinquent like you.
All right, then go out. Go to the zoo and give the monkeys a laugh.
Oh, get back in the living room and leave me alone.
All right, I will, Stringy Bonds.
Come on, Henry, Pete. By the time I've got to the end of this joke, you'll be in hysterics.
Right. By the time you got to the end of the joke, I'll be in bed.
Hello? Sounds like Wackawittle's telling Grandad one of his jocularities.
Oh, hello, Jim. Pardon me a sec, son, while I finish this comical antidote. You see, Pete, the fellow arrived at the farmhouse, like I said. Oh, Pete, you'll laugh at this one. You'll split your kilt.
Oh, get on with it, will you?
Well, I'm doing my best. Now, listen, when the farmer's daughter opened the door... Here it comes, Pete. The commercial traveller looked at her and said, ha, pardon me, but didn't we once meet in a funny story? Do you get it, Pete?
Aye, I've got it.
But I don't think he wants it.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Whittle, I'll get my overcoat out of the front room.
Okay, Jock. The next time I see you, I've got another one. It's about two talking pigs. You'll love it. Yeah, I'm afraid he's losing his sense of humour, Jim. Ah, well, it's Thomas Carpet.
Why, are you going to the concert as well?
What, not me, Jim. I was going down to the dogs, but I changed my mind owing to the indecent weather. I'll probably sit and talk to my old dad a bit. At about nine, I'll maybe graviate towards the nearest boozer.
Did you know there's a good picture on at the Rialto?
Oh, aye. It's called Massacre on Fifth Avenue. Oh, you know, Jim, when I saw it advertised in the paper, I said to myself, Harry, me lad, that's one film you must go and see.
Oh, good.
So I went to see it last night.
Oh, hey.
Oh, Jim, it's tremendous. There's one big scene near the end where
hello.
The...
Oh, it's you, Mr. Whittle.
Oh, hello there, Pat. I was just going to tell young Jim about that film at the Rialto.
Oh, what is this picture he's so keen to see?
Oh, well, it's called...
It's called Son of Lassie, all about a crazy mixed-up pup.
Oh, turn it up, Jim. No, it's a great picture, Pat. Do you know, I haven't seen so much fighting and arguing since the day they read me Uncle Herbert's will. You see, now, it all takes place in America, where they used to make booze on the side in what they called them illiterate stills.
Oh, it sounds charming. Well, thank goodness Jimmy won't be seeing that.
So, you see, these two gang bosses meet in a nightclub one night.
Pat, we better get started. You still here, Whittle?
Aye, Jock. So one says to the other, listen, bud, there ain't room for you and me in this territory. And the other one says, when I finished with you, Muggsy, you'll be squealing for Micey. So...
Jimmy, what's this he's telling you?
It's the one about the two talking pigs.
Mr. Whittle, we really must be going
No,
now.
No, listen, just let me tell you the end. Well, you see, these two rival gangs meet in Fifth Avenue. They're carrying guns in violin cases, and there's that many of them, they look like Barbarelli's fiddle section. And then they start the shooting, and when it's all over, they've all had it, the lot of them. That's how it all ends, you see. There's bodies in the streets, bodies in the cars, bodies in doorways.
And they all live happily ever after. Oh, go on, Susan. Nice, sweet, lovable Susan.
Look, I'm not taking you. Even if I could, Mother was right. It's not the kind of picture you should see.
I suppose you wouldn't mind me going to see your sort, where the lovers fall out and you have a good cry. And it makes your eye black run, and when you come home with a face looking like a road map.
Look, you're holding me up. I've got an errand to do for Mother yet.
What errand?
I've got to take these colour charts back to the painter and decorator.
Oh, let me see him. Is that his name? Geoffrey Barclay. Who sounds posh. What's it all about?
Well, Mr. Barclay's starting to paint the Women's Institute on Monday morning, and Mother's marked the colour charts they want. See who that is while I go upstairs. If it's Alfie, tell him I'll be down in a minute.
All right, I'll tell Loverboy. I'm coming.
Oh, hello, James.
Come in, Loverboy. She's upstairs.
What?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Graythorpe. I thought it was Alfie. Come in.
Oh, thank you, James. I'm afraid I'm in rather a hurry. Is anyone else in besides you?
Only us, Susan. Mum and Grandad have gone to the pensioners' concert.
Oh, they've left, have they? That's why I called. I thought of going with them. Well, I'd better try and catch them up. Bye, James.
Just a minute, Mr. Graythorpe.
Yes?
Have you got a ticket for the concert?
Well, no, but I'll pay at the door.
You'll never get in. I'll say you'll never get in. Unless, of course, you don't mind paying a pound.
A pound? But the price of admission is only 5 shillings.
I'm talking about the ticket touts outside the door.
Ticket touts? At the pensioners' concert?
Mr. Craythorpe, it's a very popular do. Ask any ticket tout how he makes his living and he'll tell you. The cup final and the old age pensioners' concert.
James, anyone would think you didn't want me to go to the concert.
Well, you won't enjoy it.
Oh, you may have a point there. But where else is there to go?
Massacre on Fifth Avenue. It's a film that's on at the Rialto.
Oh, that's most curious. There's an American ballet called Slaughter on 10th Avenue.
Yes, well, I suppose you're very fond of ballet, aren't you, Mr. Craythorpe?
Oh, I positively dote on it.
Eh? Perhaps that film at the Rialto is the ballet, the one you're talking about.
Oh, wait a moment. The ballet is Slaughter on 10th Avenue. You said Massacre on 5th Avenue.
Well, perhaps they've shortened it a bit. How about us having a walk down there and finding out, eh?
But I thought the ballet didn't interest you.
Oh, well, I might as well come and have a laugh.
James, there is nothing to laugh at in this ballet.
There might be, if some fella splits his tights. Come on, I'll come with you.
I'm going now, Jimmy. Oh, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, hello, Susan. James and I are just talking about going to the ballet.
What?
Well, James seems to think it might be a ballet. Slaughter on a massacre on
Mr. Craythorpe, it's rude to talk with your mouth open.
Oh, I'm sorry, James. What do you mean?
I thought so. Mr. Craythorpe, if you're talking about Massacre on Fifth Avenue, it's a film about gang wars in America.
What?
I've heard about it at work. It's all about drinking and gambling. And there are at least 10 people murdered.
There'll be 11 if you don't shut up.
Gang warfare? James, I have no wish to go and see a film about fighting and bloodshed.
You don't have to see the bloodshed. Once the shooting starts, you can faint. And I'll wake you up every time the ice cream girl comes round.
James, I am going to the concert.
I'll walk down the road with you, Mr. Craythorpe. Jimmy, when Alfie calls, tell him I've gone that errand for Mother with the paint charts.
All right, but if he isn't here in the next half an hour, he's had it. I'm going round to Ozzy's at 7 to watch the telly. I'd go now, only his dad'll be in.
You surprise me, James. I always thought that Higginbottom was out of the house by opening time.
Oh, not now. Ozzy says his mum stopped his dad going to the pub every night. That's why he's got to wait till she's gone.
How do you mean?
Well, Ozzy says his dad don't go out to the pub till his mum's gone off to the bingo.
Now, Alfie will be here at 7:15. Now, don't forget to give him my message.
Oh, I'm fed up. Sisters. I don't know why they were invented. It'd serve her right if Alfie didn't come at all. Or better still, if Romeo came and left before she got back. And Juliet Clitheroe would be stuck here all night, sitting on a balcony. Hope that's lover boy now. Come in!
Yeah, hello, Jim.
Well, if it isn't Alfie Cat, come in.
Yeah, all right, funny boy. I didn't come here to laugh at you.
No, you've come to laugh at our Susan.
Exactly. Oh, shut up.
Come in the sitting room. I'm only trying to cheer you up, because I knew you'd be miserable when you found out our Susan hadn't waited for you.
Oh, heck, am I late again? No, it's only 7:15, and she said to come at 7:15, so I'm half an hour early, unless my watch is stopped, and it's 7:15, and she said to come at 7:45. No, it was past, because she said the dance started at 7:30, but she didn't want to get there until 8 when the band had warmed up. I can hear it ticking.
What, your head?
No, me watch. So, you see, it hasn't stopped, and
I wish you would. Look, Alfie, you're not late. Susan's gone out to meet another bloke.
Oh, that's right. You what?
She said, would I tell you, she had to meet this fella, Geoffrey Barclay. And she'd see you later, if you're still here.
Oh, did she? Who is this Geoffrey Barclay?
He's a painter, I think. Hey, Maybe he's going to paint her. She was talking to Mr. Craythorpe about a picture.
Yeah, get off. Artists don't paint people at night. They do it in the daylight.
Oh, of course, I'm daft. She was talking to Mr. Craythorpe about a film, not a painting. Massacre on Fifth Avenue. It's the Rialto.
You mean this bloke's taking her to the Rialto?
Oh, no. She wouldn't go with someone else and leave you here, would she? Mind, she did make a fuss when Mr. Craythorpe suggested taking me there.
Yeah, well, that'd be because she didn't want you to see her there with this bloke.
Oh, I don't think that was it.
Yeah, well, I do, and I've a good mind to go round there and catch him.
Hey, it'd be funny if you sat behind him, and just as he puts his arm around her, you dropped a chalk ice down her neck. That'd cool her feelings a bit.
Yeah, well, I'll give him paint. He'll see some pretty colours when I finish with him. I'm off to the Rialto.
Right, let's go.
Well, what are you coming for?
To see the picture you... To see fair play. I mean, if you're going to have a fight with this painter, I want to be there to cheer you on when you start it and bring you around when he finishes it.
Bye, Mrs. Eccles. Bye, Mrs. Billington.
Oh, come on, ma'am.
Goodbye, ladies.
Jimmy, what's all the hurry for? Say goodbye to Mrs. Billington and Mrs. Eccles.
Bye, Mrs. Billington. Bye, Mrs. Eccles. All right, let's go.
What is all this? You dashed out of the church there the second the service was over. You'd have thought the place was on fire.
Well, if Mam doesn't get home soon, we'll all be ill.
What do you mean, we'll all be ill?
I mean, Susan will start cooking the dinner.
Never mind the jokes. You're up to something, my boy.
I'm not, Grandad.
Anyway, Alfie waved as we came out. I think he wants a word with me.
Oh, you don't want to talk to him, Mum.
Why not?
Well, it wouldn't be fair to Susan. You know she's cross with him.
Since when have you worried about being fair to your sister?
Well, the vicar said we have to love our enemies.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe, Mrs. Sinclair.
Too late. Ta-ra, Alfie. We were just going.
That'll do, Jimmy. Hello, Alfie.
Hello, my lad.
Didn't Susan come to church with you this morning, Mrs. Clitheroe?
No, she went to the early service, Alfie.
Oh, that's a pity. Because I was hoping to see her. I wanted to talk to her to find out if we were speaking. Yeah, I mean, to speak to her to find out if we were talking. If she was talking to me.
I don't quite understand what you mean, Alfie.
That makes two of you.
It was last night, you see. I came round for Susan.
She doesn't want to know.
Jimmy.
I mean, you don't want to interfere in Susan's affairs. You know, you say you always mind your own business, so you want to do it this time.
You're cheeky.
No, ma'am, I mean, you don't want Alfie to call Susan, to blame Susan.
Now, that's enough from you, my lad. Now, just keep quiet. Now, go on, Alfie. What's the trouble?
Well, I was going to take Susan dancing last night, but when I got to your house, you were out.
Ah, well, that's it then. Come on, ma'am.
Will you be quiet? Go on, Alfie.
Well, Jimmy told me that Susan had gone out.
Hey, there's Mr. Craythorpe. Hello, Mr. Craythorpe. Ma'am, it's Mr. Craythorpe. Fancy seeing Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, that's no great surprise since he was in the church when we arrived.
Hello again, everyone. Hello, Alfred.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Craythorpe. Look, Mrs. Clither, is your Susan in the house now?
Yes, she'll be getting the lunch ready. Why don't you go round, Alfie, and make up your quarrel, whatever it's about?
Well, I've got to be home soon for my dinner, so I'll call round later. Hey, I know. I'll go down to the phone box there and ring her up.
Oh, that's it. You do that.
Yeah, right, I will. Goodbye, everybody. See you later.
Oh, heck. Hey, Alfie, don't be soft with her and don't believe anything she says.
Stop shouting things like that.
Really, James, you are naughty sometimes.
You're asking for trouble, my boy. Now, come on then, Pat. Let's away home.
Yes, come along, Jimmy. Are you coming round, Theodore?
As a matter of fact, I wanted to take James back to the church.
What?
Why, Theodore?
The vicar wanted a word with him. Something to do with the choir.
Oh, heck.
You go on with Mr. Craythorpe. I'll keep your lunch warm for you. Come on, Father.
But, Mum...
Do as your mother says now. Cheerio, Theodore. Right, Pat?
Bye, Theodore. You behave yourself, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Mr. Scudero. Cheerio, Mr. Sinclair.
Goodbye now.
Well, you're a right pal, Mr. Craythorpe.
I'm a better friend than you realise. If I hadn't come out for you, the vicar would have come himself. Whilst your mother and grandfather were here.
Well, what of it?
He doesn't want you to come back into the choir.
Oh, good.
He wants to know what happened to the organ pipes.
Oh, heck. Well, look, Mr. Craythorpe, You explained to him it was all a mistake and I wasn't there. It was two other people.
So you found him, Crithorpe.
Oh, dear. Hello, Vicar. How are you?
Tell me, since you are no longer in the choir, what were you doing in the choir loft last Friday during choir practice? Eh? Come along. And what are you waiting for?
I thought you hadn't finished humming. Talking.
James, you might as well tell the truth. After all, I was there trying to play the organ, and I saw you come in.
Now, look, boy. Did you or did you not throw an old sock and a packet of sneezing powder down Mr. Craythorpe's organ pipes?
I never touched him. The organ. Well, I didn't throw him. They sort of slipped out of my hand, and it was only half a packet of sneezing powder.
I see. They slipped out of your hands.
Yes.
Into the organ pipes, which were 3 feet above your head.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm sorry, Vicar.
In all my life, I have never met a boy who caused as much trouble as you. It seems impossible to believe that you are only one boy and not some sort of a gang. That is my final warning to you, my boy. Do you understand?
Yes, Mr. Vicar. I won't do it again.
Next time, I will speak to your mother. Goodbye, and watch your step.
Phew. I thought he was going to clout me with the hymn board.
You're very lucky to get off so lightly, James. You'd better make sure nothing else happens.
Oh, heck. Mr. Craythorpe. That old black hat in the choir loft, is it the vicar's?
No, no, it's mine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Why?
That's where I poured the other half of the packet of sneezing powder.
James, really, this is too much. I'm very cross with you.
Yeah, so am I. In fact, I think I'll wring his blooming neck.
Help! They've both gone mad. Send for the vet.
You little imp. Yeah, you'll be for it when I tell Susan the truth that you got me to take you to the Rialto.
So you found a mug after all, did you, James? I mean, you got Alfred to take you. You know your mother had forbidden you to go.
Yeah, well, clever boy, what have you got to say now?
I've been L-U-M-B-E-R-E-D lumbered. Hey, didn't you tell Susan on the phone?
She wouldn't listen. She just told me how she'd sat in all night and then hung up. Don't worry, as soon as I've had my dinner, I'll be round at your house and your name will be Mud.
After I've eaten the dinner or Susan cooked, I'll be too ill to care. Hello, Susan. How's the prettiest girl in the street?
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. I see you're working again as usual. After that lovely dinner you cooked, you deserve a rest.
I've no money to lend you.
I don't want any money. I just thought you might like some help.
No, thank you. And what's this about me cooking a lovely lunch? Last week when I asked you what you wanted for a sweet, you said a stomach pump.
That was just a joke. We're very lucky to have somebody like you. Are you sure I can't help?
No, thanks. I've finished. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and tidy the lounge before Alfie comes.
I'll come with you, Susan, and give you a hand.
Look, what is it? You never do anything for me without a reason.
Oh, go on, be nasty. The vicar said we ought to try and help each other, but when I try, you just get sarcastic.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. Come in the lounge, then.
I know I tease you, but I do sometimes do things for you.
I haven't noticed it.
Well, I don't let on. I mean, I saw Alfie this morning and...
Don't talk to me about him.
Well, I know you've fallen out about him not taking you out last night, so that's why I tried to help.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought it'd be better for you to fall out with me and be friends with Alfie.
All right. I appreciate it you were doing it to help me, but wait till I see Mr. Alfred Hall.
I don't think you'll have to wait long.
Oh, hello, Alfie.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe. Is Susan in?
Yes, she's in the lounge. I'll be going in. I hope everything will be all right.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Clitheroe. Hello, Susan.
You were here.
Hello, Alfie, me old pal.
Jimmy Clitheroe, I'm going to give you a walloping you won't forget.
Now, Alfie, don't lose your temper.
I'm not losing my temper.
That's good. That's right. Keep calm.
I'm going to keep perfectly calm and strangle you in cold blood.
Help! Mother, your son's being murdered. Help!
What's going on? What is it?
It's Alfie. I think he's been bitten by a mad dog. He's got claustrophobia.
Oh. I'm sorry, Mrs. Clitheroe, but he's caused all the trouble between Susan and me getting me to take him to see Massacre on Fifth Avenue last night.
Jimmy, get upstairs. Your granddad will deal with you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, but you see...
Off you go.
I
upstairs.
Oh, heck. I hope you're satisfied, Alfie Hall.
Well, you were very silly, Jim. You were bound to be found out in the end.
And that's just where I'll get it, in me end.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, and Brian Truman as the vicar. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
The Clitheroe Kid was recorded by the BBC.